Some were asking, why even debate this issue? Why even speak about this issue? Why acknowledge this issue? Many have the opinion that it does not matter the name we use for our Father in heaven as long as he knows our heart. What does it matter? You know, so today I want to begin by challenging this one concept that it does not matter which name we use, that he knows who we're referring to. But before that, I want to add somewhat of a disclaimer to this message. This message is not a condemnation. It's not a condemnation for those using and who may have accepted this name, Jehovah. You know, I realize that many have accepted this name based on what they believe is evidence to support it. So this is not a condemnation. Now, saying that, I do believe that there are some people out there using this to deceive. So certainly I would not say the same with those who are using this name to deceive, because I do believe that Yahweh's name is vitally important. If you're disguising that name through some sort of deception, which I believe is what is occurring, what I just said, just forget, because I do believe that Yahweh will condemn those who purposely, willfully misuse and deceive his name. But again, this is not a condemnation on those who may believe this sincerely, based on the evidence, which we'll look at the evidence. And for those who may believe this, I would encourage you just to listen, evaluate the evidence. Maybe you'll hear something you haven't heard before. So stay with us, because I think you may see something you haven't seen before. So again, this going back to this notion that the name doesn't matter. Let's look at that. I believe we see an example of why it matters from the third commandment, Exodus 20, verse 7. Here's what it says. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh the Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. So we're commanded here not to take Yahweh's name in vain. Many believe this is only referring, though, to using his name in a way of cursing or some other negative way. And well, I agree that we should never use Yahweh's name in this sense. You know, obviously, we should use Yahweh's name in a very reverent way. But this word vain means much more than simply using it in a negative way. So let's look at the word vain here. Or the word vain, it comes from the Hebrew shah, and it means in the sense of a desolating. In the sense of desolating. It says evil as destructive, literally ruin. Or morally, especially guile, figuratively idolatry, is false. Subjective uselessness as deceptive, objective, also adverbially in vain. So there's a few key words here I want to point out. Number one, Shah refers to this concept of a desolation or ruin. And also, it conveys this thought of bringing something to a useless state. It does not matter. Now, how does this relate to the debate between Yahweh and Jehovah? Well, there's no doubt in my mind that Jehovah is bringing Yahweh's name to desolation. Is it bringing Yahweh's name to ruin? Is it bringing Yahweh's name to a point where it is useless because we are not hearing his name because now it's been counterfeited by a hybrid? So the name Jehovah, I believe, is in direct violation of the third commandment. The name Jehovah is in direct violation of this commandment where it says, don't take my name in vain. Now, before I show why Jehovah is an erroneous hybrid, I want to, again, show and explain what those who advocate Jehovah say, why they believe this, what evidence they use to support this view. So to begin with, it's important to realize that the resurrection of this belief, Jehovah, is really the result of one man, Kiryat Jew, who has, again, resurrected this with another fellow. He bases this belief on Hebrew Masoretic manuscripts to show and contain vowel points for Jehovah. So I want to say something real quickly. There is no dispute, by the way, that Jehovah exists within these Hebrew manuscripts. There's no dispute there. People will say, yeah, but they're in the Hebrew manuscripts. I agree. But as we'll see, the question is, how did they arise? How did this name develop? Matter of fact, recently I've heard that this person has supposedly now found 500 Hebrew manuscripts. He's really bragging about the number of Hebrew manuscripts. But, you know, as I said in the past, show me 1,000, it does not change the debate. The debate is how this name arose. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. Now, another minor note is this person also says that the Hebrew letter waw, or wow, is actually a vav and should be pronounced as a v. He also believes that the W, or the wah sound, comes from Arabic, and, you know, there's absolutely no evidence for this. But we're going to look at the V and the Vav, the Vav and the Wow later in this message. So if Jehovah is not the right name, how did this name originate within the Masoretic text? How did this happen? How did this name evolve? Or this name come about when the Masoretes, now the Masoretes are Jewish scribes, added the vowel points from the Hebrew word Adonai to the Tetragrammaton, which is, by the way, is Greek, means four letters. And the four letters is Yod Heh Wow Heh. So they took the vowel points from Adonai, and we'll see that. I'll show you that. And they added that to Yod Heh Wow Heh. And that is how we have Jehovah today. So let me give you some information about these Masoretes. It's important to realize who these folks are. According to scholarship, the Masoretes were somewhere between the 6th and 10th centuries CE, so almost 1,000 years after the Common Era. Now, the main reason for the vowel pointing, and again, these are the folks that added the vowel pointing to the text, was to preserve the sound of the Hebrew language. You know, prior to the Masoretes, Hebrew had no vowels. Now, some will point out, which correctly so, that there were certain letters called vowel consonants that had vowel sounds or could have vowel sounds, but generally or specifically speaking, there were no vowels within the Hebrew language prior to the Masoretes. The Masoretes added the vowel points as we have today. Now, there were three main locations for the Masoretes. You had Tiberias, which for those who know Jerusalem is, or Israel, is where it sits right along the Sea of Galilee in the north. You had Jerusalem, of course. And then also Babylonia. You know, Babylon always had a part in all this. It's amazing how much we see Babylon after the exile. Now, the earliest Masoretic text we have today is called the Cairo Prophet Codex. This was written punctuated by Moses ben Asher in Tiberias. Again, Tiberias was one of the schools for the Masoretes. And this was done in 895 CE. So, 895 CE. Or what this means is that Jehovah is not found within any manuscript prior to the 9th century. It doesn't exist. You can look and look and look, but I can assure you now, there's no manuscript, not just Hebrew, there's no manuscript. Greek, Latin, Hebrew, Babylonian, Chaldean, does not matter. There are no manuscripts with this name, Jehovah, does not exist. It does not exist until the Masoretes, because the Masoretes are the ones who added the vowel points from Adonai, again, overlaid them upon the Tetragrammaton, which gave rise, again, to this concept of Jehovah. You know, we'll see from scholarship that the Masoretes, again, took these vowel points and overlaid them. This is very common knowledge. Now, before we look at that, why was this done? Why was this done? Why did they take the vowel points from Adonai and overlay them over the Yod Heh Wow Heh? Well, the Jews believed that Yahweh's name was too sacred to use. It was too sacred to pronounce. Now, this was not always the case, by the way. Many people, they believe that's always the case. The Jews have never pronounced a name. That's not true. That's not true. For many, many years, the Jews would pronounce the name. So this concept that is too holy and they've never pronounced it simply is not true. So this is why they would not pronounce the name that we have. Now, what's the issue really with Jehovah? Well, number one, again, this concept and doing what they did with replacing this name with the vowel points of Adonai. Or number one, there's nothing in Scripture that shows we should not pronounce the name. What's amazing is that Scripture shows time and time and time and time again that we are to pronounce the name, that we are to use the name, that we are to praise the name. We have a really great chart, by the way, in the third edition of the Restoration Study Bible. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 2. But it shows in all the ways we're to use the name. We're to praise the name. We're to sing to the name. We're to honor the name. We're to reverence the name. Scripture doesn't show or state that we should not use the name. Scripture shows that we're to use the name, that we're to honor the name. We know that Abraham used the name. We know that all the patriarchs used the name. But the other issue with this is that by adding these vowel points, again, to the YHWH or the YHWH, is that they did so to conceal. They did this to conceal the name of our Father in heaven. Now, those who support Jehovah will deny everything I just said. They will deny the fact that scholarship says that the name Jehovah arose through the vowel points of Adonai. They will deny that. They will deny that all of scholarship is wrong when it comes to this one very important issue. And again, they will put their trust and reliance in this one man. I'm not going to mention him by name. Many even know who he is. They will try to say this, and we're going to see examples. I'm going to show, you're going to see so much evidence, in my more opinion, showing why this is not the case. But they will try to make the claim that the vowel points of Jehovah and Adonai are different. Matter of fact, I'll show you the two side by side. And they'll say, look, these are not the same name. Or that's not the case. We'll see why that's not the case. Or some will argue that the name Jehovah arose through scribal errors or mistakes. They will say something like this. When the Masoretes would copy the text, they would pronounce, and that's what they would do, they would pronounce the word as they would copy the text to make sure that they had the vowel points right, the word right. And sometimes they would inadvertently or by mistake, they would put the vowel points for the holy name, Jehovah, supposedly, and leave the vowel points in there. So these instances were actually mistakes from the scribes or from the Masoretes. Now, as a side note, you know, it's important to realize that Yahweh's name, or the Tetragrammaton, is found 6,823 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And of those times, Jehovah generally appears only a handful of times within these Hebrew documents. In most cases, the YHWH contains no vowel points. They left it without vowel points because, again, it was not to be pronounced. Now, for those who believe that the Masoretes made a mistake by leaving the correct vowel points for Jehovah within the text, they need to consider one thing, and that is how meticulous the Jews were, these Masoretes were, based on their own writing. So I want to share with you two slides, and these slides are rules as we find within their Talmud. It's kind of small, but here I'm going to read through these. This is the scribe must be a learned, pious Jew who has undergone special training and certification. All materials, parchments, ink, quill, must conform to strict specifications and be required specifically for the purpose of writing a Torah scroll. The scribe must pronounce every word out loud before copying it from the correct text. So they say, this is how Jehovah arose. They would pronounce the name, and then not thinking about it, they would write the vowel points, and they would leave the vowel points. And by doing so, they preserve the name. Well, that's not the case. Okay, the scribe may write every one letter into the Torah by heart. Oh, I'm sorry, the scribe may not write even one letter into the Torah scroll by heart. Rather, he must have a second kosher open scroll before him at all times. A Torah scroll is disqualified if even a single letter is added. A Torah scroll is disqualified even if a single letter is deleted. Every letter must have sufficient white space surrounding it. If one letter touches another in any spot, it invalidates the entire scroll. If a single letter is so marred that it cannot be read at all or resembles another letter, whether the defect is in the writing or the result of a hole, tear, or smudge, the entire roll is invalidated. Each letter must be sufficiently legible so that even an ordinary child, school child, could distinguish it from another similar letters. The scribe must put precise space between words so that one word will not look like two words or two words like look like one word. The scribe must not alter the design of the sections and must conform to particular line lengths and paragraph configurations. A Torah scroll in which any mistake has been found cannot be used. Did you hear that? A Torah scroll with any mistake cannot be used. It says, and a decision regarding its restoration must be made within 30 days, or it must be buried. So that is how they dealt with scrolls or manuscripts or codices that had mistakes within them. Now, based on the stringency of these rules, do you honestly believe that Masoretes would have made so many mistakes within so many documents as we find today? Again, according to this one person that is propagating this belief, 500 plus manuscripts. Do you really believe that the Masoretes were that sloppy that they would have left this number of mistakes within the, you know, in my mind, such a conclusion is really beyond reason. It's beyond rationale. You cannot explain it. So this whole premise that the name Yehovah developed through mistakes made by scribes, by the Masoretes, simply does not hold up when you understand the stringency that they had to go through to validate their text. Now, I mentioned before that they stopped using the name, the Jews, they stopped using the name. We see evidence for this from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Here's what it says here in the Encyclopedia Britannica. After the Babylonian exile, 6th century BCE, and especially from the 3rd century, so we see two dates here, BCE, Jews ceased to use the name Yahweh for two reasons. As Judaism became a universal rather than merely local religion, a common noun, Elohim, meaning G-O-D, tended to replace Yahweh to demonstrate the universal sovereignty of Israel's G-O-D over all others. At the same time, the divine name was increasingly regarded as too sacred to be uttered. It was thus replaced vocally in the synagogue ritual by the Hebrew word Adonai, my Lord, which was rendered as Kyrios, Lord, in the Septuagint, in the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures. So we see here that the Jews began avoiding the pronunciation of the divine name when? It says it began during the Babylonian exile, 6th century BCE. But we also see here, for the most part, they stopped pronouncing it when? They stopped pronouncing it by the 3rd century BCE. So 300 years before the Messiah, with the exception of a few cases, Jews would not pronounce Yahweh's name. They would use, as we see here, the word Adonai or Elohim as a replacement for that. You know, in many ways, I understand why the Jews were hesitant to use Yahweh's name, maybe after the Babylonian exile. We read a psalm today, Psalms 137. It talks about their time in Babylon, how bad it was, and how they were persecuted and oppressed. I understand that. I understand how they were apprehensive from using the name based on what they experienced within Babylon. But what about the 3rd century? What happened in the 3rd century to cause this hesitance to use and pronounce the name? Because again, this began after the exile, right? But it really picked up steam in the 3rd century. So what happened? Well, according to a footnote in the Talmud, in Yoma 39b, it says this. It says, Sota, 38a, suggests that the ineffable name could be pronounced only when there was some indication that the Shekinah, that was Yahweh's glory, Shekinah rested on the sanctuary. When Simon the Righteous died, matter of fact, I have this here. When Simon the Righteous died, with many indications that such glory was no more enjoyed, his brethren no more dared utter the ineffable name. So again, this is from the Talmud. The Talmud. This is not the Britannica. This is not the Judaica. This is not the Catholic Encyclopedia. This is a Talmud. If anything is going to reflect Jewish thought, it's going to be the Talmud. This is a Talmud. It says here that by the death of Simon the Just or Simon the Righteous, that the Jews stopped using the name Yahweh, because they felt that the Shekinah, the glory of Yahweh, had departed, and then that the inevitable name could no longer be pronounced. This is again when the Jews would begin using Adonai, and this is what led to them concealing the concealing Yahweh's name through the vowel points of Adonai much later. You notice on this single point where those supporting Jehovah disagrees with nearly all of scholarship, because again, they will say that the Jews never replaced Yahweh's name with Adonai, that the vowel points of Adonai never had a part in Jehovah, and yet, as we're going to see, this is not the case based on scholarship. And I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to do that now. I'm going to show you from scholarship why this is not the case. So this is from the Encyclopedia Judaica. Now, the Encyclopedia Judaica, by the way, is one of the most well-known, recognized references in the world, especially for Jewish thought. There's very few references that I would consider more reputable than the Encyclopedia Judaica. It is a great, great source. So here's what this reference says about Jehovah. It says in the early Middle Ages, when the Constantinople text of the Bible was supplied with vowel points, and again, this was done by the Masoretes, remember, to facilitate his correct transitional reading, and that was to preserve the vowels. The vowel points for Adonai with one variation as Shiva, short E, with the first Y or Yod of YHWH instead of the Hataf Pathic, short A, under the Aleph of Adonai was used for YHWH, thus producing the form Yehovah. Notice that Yehovah. Remove the V, U, by the way, and add a word W and insert a V. What does that say? Yehovah. 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 Now, it's important to realize just real quickly, they used Yehovah because Yehovah, the wow is considered to be an older form of the Vav. We're going to talk much, much more about that, but the Judaica here does show that. This is when Christian scholars of Europe first began to study Hebrew, they did not understand what this really meant, and they introduced the hybrid named Jehovah or Yehovah. You see, they saw these vowel points, these early scholars, and they said, there it is. So they took the vowel points as they were, and they sounded this word out, Yehovah or Jehovah. We know that the G and the Y there were replaced. Okay, moving on. The Collegiate Encyclopedia, Volume 9, page 580, it says, Jehovah, modern form of the Hebrew sacred name of God. It says probably originally Yahweh, so there it does confirm that. From century 300 B.C., the Jews, and we already saw that, by the way, right? The Britannica stated that by the 3rd century. The Talmud stated that by the 3rd century. Here we see the Collegiate Encyclopedia saying the same thing, that by the 300 B.C. century, the Jews, for motives of piety. You see, it wasn't, by the way, out of irreverence. The Jews did not do this out of irreverence. Some people, they believe that we're anti-Jewish because we say things like, no, no. We realize that the Jews did this because they were very reverent for the name. They wanted to honor the name. But again, Yahweh says that we're to use his name. So whatever the rationale was, it's not biblical. Uttered the name of G-O-D very rarely and eventually not at all, but substituted the title Adonai. There it is, meaning Lord, the vowels of which were written under the consonants of Yahweh, it says, or YHWH, Yod He Wal He. In the Middle Ages and later, the vowels of one word with the consonants of the other were misread as Jehovah. And keep in mind that Jehovah and Jehovah, there's no difference. There's absolutely no difference between Jehovah and Jehovah, same word. Another reference here, this is the Encyclopedia Britannica, Micropedia, Volume 10, under Yahweh. It says, a personal name of the, says God, or G-O-D of the Israelites, the Masoretes, Jewish biblical scholars of the Middle Ages, replaced the vowel signs that had appeared above or beneath the consonants of YHWH with the vowel signs of Adonai, or of Elohim. They would use Elohim, by the way. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I'll show you an example. But it wasn't used often. Most often it was Adonai. It says, thus the artificial name, notice that artificial, it's a hybrid, it's not real, name, Jehovah or Yehovah. Notice that again, it uses the wow instead of the vav there with Yehovah, the W sound, which is the older of the two, came into being. So again, we see here from scholarship that Yehovah or Yehovah came about through the vowel points of Adonai, and also they used Elohim. Okay, The Encyclopedia of the Lutheran Church. You know, I'm not going to go on all day, believe me. I could go on all day long with references showing this one basic fact. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to give a few here. It says, this is from the Encyclopedia of the Lutheran Church under Yahweh. This is a probable pronunciation of the Old Testament four-letter word, YHWH, the most profound and sacred of the Hebrew names for GOD. Is this important? Absolutely. It says it's the most profound name. It's absolutely important. It says the name is interpreted in Exodus 3:14 as I am who I am. The name was held in such high regard that the Jews were forbidden to pronounce it and read the word Adonai or Lord instead. When the Jews, Hebrew Masoretes, added the vowel points to the consonantal text, they used the vowels of Adonai with the four consonants YHWH. This was transliterated in the early versions as Jehovah or Yehovah. This form of the word became quite popular, but it should be remembered that such a word never existed. Never existed. Why? Because it's not a word. It's not a name. Again, they developed this through the vowel points of the Adonai. It's not a name. It never was. Never will be. Okay, this is from the book, The Making of a Contemporary Translation, page 107. It says, in the Hebrew Bible, the Jews wrote the consonants of the Tetragrammaton, again, Tetragrammaton Greek, meaning four words, as YHWH, but out of reverence for the sacred name of G-O-D, or out of fear of violating Exodus 20, verse 7, again, that commandment there, Leviticus 24, 16, they vocalized and pronounced it as Adonai, or occasionally as Elohim. So you see a second witness there that they would also use Elohim for the vowel pointing. It is unfortunate, then, that the name was transliterated into German and ultimately into English as Jehovah. Jehovah. Again, this came through by the vowel points of Adonai. It says, which is the way of saying it represented in the American Standard Version of 1901 for this conflate form represents the vowels of Adonai superimposed on the consonants of Yahweh, and it was never intended by the Jews to be read as Yehovah. Notice that again, it uses Yehovah. You know, these scholars, they know. They know that it's not Yehovah. They know that Yehovah is much closer in the sense that it uses, again, the old Yemenite, Sephardic, the biblical, the wow, as we find within Hebrew, not the Ashkenazi Vav, which we'll talk about more. Okay, so at least one more reference here. It says, the scribes reasoned that if they did not point the name Yahweh, then it could not be treated lightly since the name would not really be known. There it is. They did this why? So that the name would not be known. Why? So that it would not be blasphemed. This is the reason why they use the vowel points. And again, these people that support Jehovah, they refuse to recognize this evidence. Isn't that amazing? And believe me, from testimony, from firsthand witness, they have no other reference. They have one man that they will refer to as support for Jehovah. There's no serious scholar who would ever agree with this. Goes on to say in Exodus 20, verse 7, the name Lord is written in capital letters according to the convention of signifying the name Yahweh. But the name as it appears in the Hebrew text is YHWH Yehovah. Again, there they recognize the law. In which appears the consonants from the name Yahweh and the vowels from the word Lord. It says, proof for the fabricated nature of this word are the two vowels which appear in the wow and impossibility in Hebrew. Notice that. It can't be. That can't happen. It goes against Hebrew scholarship. This is, however, until the revival of the Hebrew language in Western Europe, scholars read the consonants YHWH. Germans would read them as JHWH. That's what they would use. They substitute the Y for the J and the W for the V. JHVH, that's where Jehovah comes from. It's a Germanic. With the vowels of Adonai, thereby originating the incorrect form Jehovah or Yehovah. This word was then introduced into English by William Tyndale and was continued by the King James Version. You know, based on what we see here, based on all the evidence we find from the Judaica, from the Britannica, and all the other references we find here, the Lutherans, and those who study these ancient manuscripts, there is no dispute, there is no debate on this word Jehovah, or Yehovah, or Yehovah, however you want to pronounce it, there is absolutely no debate. This is an erroneous hybrid that came about when the Masoretes added the vowel points from Adonai to the Tetragrammaton. And again, as we saw through these references, they would also use the word or the vowel points from Elohim to accomplish this goal. And again, keep in mind that this is only a very small subset of evidence we find from scholarship. Believe me, I could go on all day long quoting scholar after scholar after scholar, showing, confirming, validating that the name of Jehovah is an erroneous hybrid. It is not hard to find. It is not in dispute. It is not in debate. It is a consensus amongst scholars today. So how do we know that they share the vowel points? I want to show you a graphic, show you exactly how this happened. So we see here, this is Yahweh, Yod, Yod, He, Wow, Hey. Then we have the word Adonai there, Adonai. And the Adonai is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod. And we see the Hebrew for these terms and also the vowel pointing then for the Hebrew word Adonai. Now, we also see below that the word Yehovah, Yehovah. Let me show that. This here is Yehovah. That is Yehovah based on the vowel points of Adonai. So Adonai, Yehovah. So this shows graphically, you can see the vowel points. Got the vowel point there, same thing. Same vowel points, both words. Now some though will say this. Some will say that they are not the same word. Some will say if you look close enough, you'll notice that the vowel points differ. And they do differ. They do differ. They're not quite the same. But this is not because Yehovah does not derive from Adonai. This is simply because of Hebrew grammar. This is how Hebrew grammar works. Now, I have a few slides. I'm going to share some information showing and explaining why this is. Why this is based on biblical scholarship, biblical Hebrew, and biblical grammar. And not that this is not the same word. So let's do that. So by the way, here, this is called the compound schwa, compound schwa, and this is called a regular schwa. So those are the difference. That's the difference between Adonai and Yehovah. One has a compound schwa, the other has a regular schwa. So the first graphic here just sort of shows it says Hebrew grammar rules require that the compound schwa, that's what that symbol right here, that's the compound schwa, under the aleph, so this is aleph of Adonai, to revert to a schwa under the yod, so that's the yod, yod of YHWH, or the Tetragrammaton Yahweh's name. Guttural such as aleph cannot have a vocal schwa. So it has to do, again, with Hebrew grammar. Or another explanation here. This is from Wikipedia. It says vocalizations Yehovah and Adonai are not identical. So there it is. Acknowledges this fact. This is a schwa in YHWH in the Hataf Pathic, and Adonai appears differently. The vocalization can be attributed to biblical Hebrew phonology, where the Hataf Pathic is grammatically identical to the schwa, always replacing every schwa under a guttural letter. Since the first letter of Adonai is a guttural letter, while the first letter of Yahweh or Yehovah, I should say, based on the vowel pointing, is not. The Hataf Pathic under the guttural aleph reverts to regular schwa under the non-guttural yod. So basically it's this. Yod is a non-guttural. Aleph is a guttural sound. Based on biblical Hebrew, the aleph prefers the compound schwa. That's it. That's how you, and every Hebrew scholar would recognize this fact. I believe even this person who's propagating this belief probably knows this. He probably, now just in case, I know this is from Wikipedia, I'm not a real big fan of Wikipedia. So what I did is I sent this information, this explanation to a professor, Stephen Fassberg, PhD. I'm going to talk a little bit more about him later. But he teaches at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. biblical Hebrew in the biblical in the Hebrew language department. So this guy is the cream of the crop when it comes to professors. I sent this to him. He says, yes, that is right based on biblical Hebrew, this explanation. So there's a second witness to this explanation. It has to do with guttural versus a non-guttural and a compound schwa versus a regular schwa. It's the same word, though. It's the same vowel points. Okay, I want to show you a video. It's about 5 minutes. This person is Dr. William Bart. He teaches or taught. He's semi-retired now, but he taught at the Master's Seminary, and he taught Hebrew and Introduction to Hebrew 1 and 2 and Exegesis and some other courses. So anyway, I want to show a very small clip. It's about 4 to 5 minutes, and he explains from a grammatical standpoint why and how the word Yehovah or Jehovah arose. So bear with me, and I'm going to start that now.
Instead of pronouncing the name Yahweh, and that Yahweh is probably the best, I'd say 75% or more of Hebrew scholars, whether they're Jewish or whether they're Christian, whether they're Christian in name only or whether they're truly born again, would agree that Yahweh is the correct pronunciation of the title. But they decide that they would pronounce it with the name Adonai. Adonai means Lord. Literally, it means my Lord. But the my is no longer really considered a part of it. It's kind of like a fossilized part of it. And it's literally my lords. It's a majestic plural, a plural of majesty. And so Adonai means Lord. This is this way. In our English Bibles, this is translated this way with capital letters. It sounds the same. Well, that started with the Alexandrian Jews in Egypt, who then translated the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament from the Hebrew to Greek about 250 years before Christ. And they used, for this title, they used the Greek Kurios. And so this came across into Christian circles the same way. This is why in the New Testament, even when the Old Testament is being quoted and the name Yahweh is in the original Hebrew text, the New Testament, because in 80% of the cases where the New Testament is quoting the Old, it's quoting from the Greek Septuagint, you'll see Kurios used, and so it's Lord. So this was used. So how did they signal this? Well, they said, okay, let's take this vowel here and put it here. Let's put this vowel up here, and let's put this vowel here. Now, if we do that, number one, this is a violation, isn't it? Why does this have a compound schwa? Three rules of the gutturals. Refuses doubling. Prefers compound schwas. Prefers A-class vowels. And the aleph prefers a compound schwa. Well, with the yod's not a guttural, so that's not needed. All right? So it switches down to a schwa. Now, pronounce this. Yehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah. That's where the title or name Jehovah comes from. Jehovah is a name that does not exist. He was never known as Jehovah. All that is a title that is made up by combining the vowels of Adonai with the letters for Yahweh, and those vowels are put there so that Adonai would be said rather than Yahweh. And so someone has then decided to create a name out of that, to pronounce it, ignoring the whole purpose of this, the way it's written. And you'll see in our text here on the screen that the holam has dropped out. Why? Because they began to recognize if you put a vowel with every one of the consonants, that it no longer is taken by some who don't have the learning as being a name or a word to be pronounced that way. That's how Jehovah came or arose. And so they take off the holam so that all you have is two of the three vowels as a clue to say Adonai rather than to say Yahweh. Okay, so that's why up here you have Yahweh pointed with a schwa under the yod and a comets under the wow. and that's a signal to pronounce it rather as Adonai. And today, modern Jews will use Hashem instead because they don't like this confusion in what it's called any more than we like it. And so they use Hashem. What's Hashem mean? The name. The name. It's a reference to Yahweh. The name. All right? So they'll just say, Asa Hashem, Eth Hashemayim. And so it's not pronounced. Now, we will pronounce it.
Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I really found that video enlightening. The way he explained the vowel pointing, he showed how this name occurs. So, again, what was the difference? You have a guttural, non-guttural, right? The aleph within Adonai is a guttural. The yod within Yahweh is a non-guttural. You have a compound vowel, because that's what gutturals require, the aleph under the word Adonai. And then you have a rotor schwa under the tetragrammaton under the yod. But again, this is because of Hebrew grammar. This does not prove that they are two different words. This does not prove that Yahweh, or I should say Jehovah, did not come from Adonai. Once you understand the Hebrew grammar and how that works, you realize how, again, this name arose and why we see differences between the vowel points. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're two different words. Nothing to do with this lie, this deception that Jehovah is not formed through the vowel points of Adonai. This is how Hebrew works. So those who propagate Jehovah are either doing so because they don't understand the Hebrew language, or they understand it and they're trying to mislead. And believe me, I think there are people out there that certainly understand that, again, there's a difference in a guttural and a non-guttural, and there's a difference in vowel pointing based on Hebrew grammar for this reason, but they choose to deceive because they rather push this Jehovah to conceal the name of our Father in heaven. You know, this is an example, by the way, why it's so important that we study and prove these things out. So important that we look into these matters. You know, again, if not for us understanding that there's a difference in vowel points and how they work between certain letters, we would not understand why Jehovah looks different from Adonai. They're very close, but again, there is a slight difference with the vowel pointing, but again, that's explained through the grammar, and that's the way Hebrew works. Now, another issue with Jehovah, this is a major, major issue, is that we find different pronunciations within these codices, within these ancient Hebrew documents. I want to share two examples with you today. The first one is from the Leningrad Codex. Leningrad Codex dates to about 1008 CE, so 1,000 years, by the way, after the Dead Sea Scrolls, 1,000 years. And within the Leningrad Codex, and I've verified, there's facsimiles, you can go online, and you can see the actual text to the Leningrad. Same thing with the Aleppo. And you can actually see the difference in vowel pointing. So I've validated this already. And if you don't believe me, go out online, look for the Leningrad Codex, look at these passages, and you'll see the vowel points are different. So let me show you an example here. So this is variations of the Tetragrammaton within the Leningrad Codex. So you can see here, maybe hard to see from the audience, but there's different vowel points here. Now, based on those different vowel points, the approximate transliterations or renderings would be this. Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahui, Yahuwai, Yahuwi, Yahweh. Now, I'm sure I had some of those a little bit off, but you can see us. It's not the same, right? There's distinctions in the spellings. Oh, I just lost my PowerPoint. There's distinctions in spellings between these instances of the Tetragrammaton. And notice also, we have a passage here. So if you want to take a photo of this, go online, do a search for Leningrad Codex, and then look at each one of these. This is there. It's online. And you're going to see this. And by the way, so the first two examples here, based on the evidence, it's likely from Adonai. The others are likely from the word Elohim. The third and fourth are for sure from the Hebrew word Elohim, so you can see instances of where they would use Elohim and also Adonai within these instances. Okay, there's one more example here. This is the Aleppo Codex, and the Aleppo Codex dates to about 930 CE, so again, about 1,000 years. Remember that the 9th century is the oldest manuscripts we have from the Masoretes. And this is, by the way, the Aleppo Codex, for those who advocate Jehovah, this is the Holy Grail, if you will. This is the best manuscript, according to their estimates. But even here, we see different pronunciations based on the vowel points. So let me show you a facsimile. This is a facsimile, and this is of Judges 16, verse 28, is what we see here. You can see these two circles. You see that? Those circles represent the Yod, He, Wow, He of Yahweh's name. Now, based on the vowel pointing, the approximate rendering, the best I can come up with anyway, is Yahweh and Yahweh. So that is the rendering, that the transliteration, if you will, if we would take this into English. And we also see here again that the first one, Yahweh, is from Adonai. You can see the vowel points of Adonai there. And the second one, it looks like it's from the word Elohim, the vowel points from Elohim. So here's two different spellings based on the vowel points within the prized, the beloved Aleppo Codex, showing that Jehovah is not the only spelling we find based on these Masoretic vowel points. As I said, Elohim is also used, and by the way, it's used most often when Adonai and Yahweh appear either side by side or very close together. That way it doesn't read something like Adonai, Adonai. Instead, it would read Adonai Elohim. It's just redundancy. That's the only reason they really use this. And by the way, you know, we find many, many more discrepancies in other codices besides the Leningrad and the Aleppo. We can probably turn the lights on, by the way. So we find many, many examples beyond these two codices with these same discrepancies. Now, let me ask you, if you base your pronunciation of Yahweh's name or the Tetragrammaton based on the Masoretic text, how do you reconcile these discrepancies? How do you reconcile the fact that we don't see one rendering of the Tetragrammaton, but we find many, many different renderings of the Tetragrammaton based, again, on the Masoretic text? You know, as we already saw, we saw in the Leningrad Codex, we have Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yahweh, and Yahweh. So how do you choose? How do you choose between those six? And let's throw in Jehovah in there. How do you choose? Well, let me tell you, you can't. You can't choose. Since there's multiple pronunciations, there's no way of knowing which pronunciation is right based solely on the Masoretic manuscripts. And again, the problem is there's no scholarship beyond these Masoretic texts. You know what's amazing? If you ask those who support Jehovah, please show me one scholarly reference, PhD, encyclopedia, something forming this same conclusion based on the same evidence, you will get no answer, because there is no answer. But again, what do you do when you have multiple spellings based on these Masoretes, based on these Masoretic texts? You can't use the Masoretic text to determine and decipher the name. We find many, many examples of different spellings for the holy name, for the sacred name, for the divine name. You cannot use the Masoretic text to uncover the pronunciation of the name. It simply doesn't work. Now, there's another issue with Jehovah, and that is the V. Now, we know the V within Jehovah comes from the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is known as the Vav, this modern-day Ashkenazi Hebrew. Now, according to Hebrew linguists, Hebrew scholars, they say the Vav was originally a wow, and pronounced as a W. For example, here's what we find from Edward Horowitz in his book, How the Hebrew Language Grew. It says the sound of wow a long time ago wasn't Vav at all, but W, and W is weak. The Yemenite Jews of Arabia, who retained an ancient, correct, and pure pronunciation of Hebrew, still pronounce the wow as W, as does Arabic, and a close sister language of Hebrew. So according to what we see here, the vav was originally a what? It was originally a wow. And the wow was originally pronounced how? It was pronounced as a soft W. He also confirms here that the Yemenite Jews of Arabia have retained a more correct and pure form of Hebrew. You know, I think I've shared with many of you, but while in Israel this last time, our archaeologist tour guide, he was with the Israeli Antiquities Authority, and a graduate of Hebrew University of Jerusalem, very smart man. Or we were talking, we were on Mount Carmel, and I asked, I said, the way we pronounce the name, I said, would you mind if I, you know, is that the right pronunciation? He says, yes. He says, that's how you're to pronounce the name, Yahweh. We didn't say Yahweh, he says, that's how you'd pronounce it. He says, not only that, and this blew me away. He said, not only that, he said, this is how my Yemenite wife would say the name. And he explained that the Yemenites have a closer form of Hebrew to biblical Hebrew than the Ashkenazi or modern Hebrew. Matter of fact, he said, because modern Hebrew does not have a W sound, does not have a W sound, it doesn't have that. He says it's hard for him and many other Jews to actually make a W sound. They don't have a W sound. It's a V sound. But his wife, being Yemenite, she has retained that W sound. So he says, not only is it right, Yahweh, and again, this guy, he's an archaeologist. He's a graduate from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He's been in Israel for decades. I think he was in his 60s or something, but he's been in Israel since a child. And he says, it's Yahweh. And he says, it's Yahweh also because of how my Yemenite wife would pronounce this name. Again, I was just blown away, number one, that he would actually admit that. But also go on to say what he said about his wife. Now we also find evidence for the W or the wow versus the vav from the Ashkenazi versus Sephardic Hebrew. For example, here's what we find from a man named Menahem Mansour in his book Biblical Hebrew. So he says there are generally speaking two main pronunciations, and there's others, but these are the main two pronunciations: the Ashkenazi of German or German, originated by Central and Eastern European Jews and carried all countries to which those Jews have emerged, Western Europe, America, etc., and the Sephardi or Sephardic, or Jewish, used by the Jews of Spanish or Portugal stock in Europe and America, and also by Jews from Oriental countries. In all universities and throughout Israel, the Sephardi or Sephardic pronunciation has been adopted, since it is generally believed that this is the pronunciation nearest to the original. So we see here two forms of Hebrew. One is Sephardic or Sephardi. One is Ashkenazi. Again, this man, Mansour, says that the Sephardi is closer to the biblical Hebrew. Now, again, as we see here, the Ashkenazi, they settled in Central and Eastern Europe, and the Sephardi, representing the Jews then who settled in the Mediterranean, mainly, as I understand it, in Spain and Portugal. So these are the two groups and where they were and how they were influenced or not influenced as it would be. So as we know, Sephardi or Sephardic Hebrew uses the wow. It uses a W. Look it up. Sephardi Hebrew uses a wow, while Ashkenazi or modern Hebrew, is modern Hebrew is based on Ashkenazi Hebrew, uses the vav or the v. So there's a difference. And this is another indication that it was a wow, not a vav. This is not a v, but a w. And this is also why Jehovah is not possible. And again, remember we were looking at all those references. How would it pronounce it? Yehovah. Yehovah. You see, the scholars know. The scholars know when you pronounce it in biblical Hebrew, they know not to use the V. Only those who don't understand the Hebrew language would ever say that Yehovah is the correct pronunciation, or those trying to deceive. One of the two. They either don't understand or they're purposely, willfully trying to deceive. I want to share with you a correspondence now. I was really impressed with this correspondence I received. We emailed, 20 professors, I think, Harvard, Stanford, and also the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. I think I got one or two responses back from Stanford. They didn't say much. They said they didn't really know. I got three or four responses back from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And one man who responded, his name is Professor Stephen Fasper. And I, you know, for my from my impression, he's sort of the go-to guy when it comes to ancient biblical Hebrew. I'll explain that in just a moment why that is. But I want to share with you my correspondence and his reply. But before that, to give you just a sense of who this man is, his academic credentials, I want to share some of that information with you. So he received his AB in 1978 as PhD from Harvard, currently teaches at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. So PhD from Harvard, professor at the Hebrew University. He's a member of the Academy of the Hebrew Language, Jerusalem. He's an associate editor for the Historical Dictionary of the Hebrew Language Project, and also the Encyclopedia of Hebrew Language and Linguistics. He served as chair for the Department of Hebrew Language from 1998 through 2001, and also from 2006 through 2009. He was a director of the Orion Center for the Study of the Dead Sea Scrolls and Associate Literature from 2006 through 2009. And he also contributed to countless articles, and believe me, when I say countless articles, countless articles. It's amazing. You look at this man's list, his man's bio, and you can do it. Go online. Look for Professor Stephen Fassberg, and you can find his biography, his profile, and it will show all the articles and all the references. I think he wrote or contributed to the Aramaic section within the Encyclopedia Judaica. I mean, that's amazing. Think about it. One of the premier references, and this man contributed to that, along with 100 others. I don't know about 100, but the list is rather long. Okay, so that's who this man is. I want to now show you my correspondence so that you understand the context to which he responded, and then we'll look at his response. So I wrote, Professor Fassberg, I'm in the process of researching the Hebrew Tetragrammaton and have noticed some using the form Yehovah. Can you confirm yet whether Yehovah is proper or correct based on the Hebrew letters Yod Heh Wal Heh, YHWH? Also, can you confirm the origins of the Hebrew letter Vav and the V sound within the Hebrew language? Is this letter and sound found in ancient Hebrew or later, and does it predate the Hebrew Wal? Several sources state that the V sound was influenced from the Germanic language and was not present in biblical Hebrew, Koine Greek, or Phoenician. Does scholarship confirm this conclusion? That was October 30th, 2017 is when that email was sent. So a few days later, he responds with this. So he says, the pronunciation you mentioned, and that was Yehovah, is a mistake. Isn't that amazing? Do you remember this man's credentials? He says it's a mistake. He says a Hebrew consonantal text is YHWH, and no one really knows how this was pronounced in Old Testament times, which, by the way, did not surprise me. He responded with that, being a professor. He says at a later date, the latter half of the second millennium C, Masoretes added vowel signs to the consonantal text. Whenever the Tetragrammaton was written, they added the vowel signs of the word Adonai, which means my Lord. There was a taboo on pronouncing the divine name, and one was supposed to read the word Adonai, my Lord, much later. Now listen to this. I love this. Listen to what he says here. He says, much later, some started reading the vowel signs together with YHWH and came up with the nonsensical word Jehovah. Irrational is what that means, nonsensical. Irrational is a hybrid, it's fake. Where he goes on to say this, there is no doubt that the original sound was W, not V. Sometime during the history of the Hebrew language, there was a shift from W to V in pronunciation, probably already during the Mishneach period. So what are some of the takeaway points from this Professor Fassberg? Well, number one, while he doesn't confirm the name Yahweh, and I wasn't assuming you would, truthfully, he unequivocally here states that Yehovah is a what? He says Yehovah is a mistake and nonsensical, irrational. He also explains here that Yehovah or Jehovah came about when the Masoretes added the vowel points from Adonai to the Tetragrammaton. He also verifies here that when the Jews saw these vowel points, they were to read what? They were to read the Hebrew word Adonai. Adonai. Goes on to say only much later did some actually begin pronouncing the vowel points of Adonai with the YHWH, which gave rise to Yehovah or Yehovah. Prior to, so listen, it was never the intent of the Jews that they would pronounce the vowel points with YHWH. So not only is Yehovah wrong, the people pushing this don't understand the old tradition. They're not even following their own tradition right. Now again, keep in mind this man's credentials. Not only does he have a PhD from Harvard, not only is he one of the leading professors within the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, but he has contributed to so many references. You know, considering what we've already read from scholarship, and now what we see here confirmed through this Professor Fassberg, you know, it's amazing how people can still deny this. How people can still deny this and then point to one man who is neither a scholar in my mind nor a believer in the Messiah. And yet they do. They do by the groves. They just follow this man like nothing I've ever seen before. It's just amazing. Now, in addition to confirming that Jehovah is a mistake and developed through the vowel points of Adonai, we also see here that Professor Fassberg acknowledges another important truth, and that is that the wow predates the vav. In other words, the W predates the V. According to Fassberg, there's no evidence for the V or the Vav until the Mashniach period. The Mashniach period corresponds to about the 1st to the 3rd century C. Remember, we say about 1st century is the Mashniach period. So before this, before the Common Era, there was no V, he says. There's no evidence for a V anyway. The time where we see the V within Hebrew is in the Mashniach period, not before, not according to Professor Fassberg, and not from anything else I've seen. Most, nearly all scholars say that biblical Hebrew, again, had the wow, had the W, based on the Sephardic, based on the Yemenite Hebrew. So this claim that the Vav predates the wow and or the W came from Arabic, it's just wrong. There's absolutely nothing from a scholarly stance that would give credence to such an idea. There's no evidence to support it. I want to move on now and talk about why we believe, and I know I'm going long, I do apologize for that. I knew I would. I should have warned you beforehand. So I want to talk a little bit about why we believe Yahweh is the right pronunciation. I'm not going to dwell on this because this message really is focused on Jehovah. But I'm going to read a few references showing the evidence for this. So I'm going to go through this a little bit quicker. So this is from the Encyclopedia Judaica. It says, the true pronunciation of the name YHWH was never lost. Several early Greek writers of the Christian church testified that the name was pronounced Yahweh. So there's evidence from the Judaica. Again, one of the most premier sources within Judaism today. And it says that the name is pronounced Yahweh. The Encyclopedia Britannica, 15th edition, volume 10, page 786, says, early Greek writers, such as Clement of Alexandria in the 2nd century, now keep in mind, 2nd century, that's like 700 years before the earliest Masoretic text. Isn't that amazing? It says, Alexandria in the 2nd century had used the form Yahweh, thus his pronunciation of the Tetragrammaton was never really lost. Greek transcriptions also indicated that YHWH should be pronounced Yahweh. So there it is, based on the Greek, based on documents 1,800 years ago, they're saying it's Yahweh. The pronunciation of Yahweh, this is from Erdman's Bible Dictionary, the pronunciation Yahweh is indicated by transliteration of the name into Greek in early Greek Christian literature in the form of I-A-O-U-E, Clement of Alexandria, or I-A-B-E, Theodoret, by the time Greek, now it says B, had the pronunciation of V. Of course, we know that V was more of a W. Strictly speaking, Yahweh is the only name of Jehudi. In Genesis, wherever the word Shem or name is associated with the divine being, that name is Yahweh. So here in the Greek, real quickly, we have the iota, alpha, omicron, upsilon, and epsilon. These form the name Yahweh when you sound them out. Yahweh. So if you sound them out, you get Yahweh according to scholarship and according to, you know, we can even look at the sounds ourselves. We have the Greek letters. That's all we need. We have the Greek letters. We now have the Greek sounds. We can sound these out. Now, there's another section of evidence I think is important to recognize, and that is the Nag Hammadi, or these Gnostic writings. This is from Dr. Meyer, the Nag Hammadi Scripture, Secret Book of John. It says, Elohim and Yahweh, two names of G-O-D in the Hebrew Scriptures. Yahweh is the name of G-O-D based on the Tetragrammaton, the inevitable four-letter name. So this is Gnostic. And this Gnostic source, by the way, goes back to the time of Irenaeus, which goes back to about 2nd century CE. So very, very old document. Same thing with, time frame as Clement of Alexandria. Now, we may see evidence, and I say maybe, is, you know, I can only find it once. I like to find things more than once. But I will share it. Haley's Bible handbook says this. It says, Sayce announced 1898 that he had discovered on three separate tablets in the British Museum of the time of Hammurabi, 18th century BCE, by the way, 1800 years before Yahshua came. It says the words Jahweh or Jahweh is God or G-O-D. Jahweh. Or how do you think that was pronounced? Jah, we know the J there doesn't exist, right? There's no J in Hebrew. So we know it's not J, it's Y. Yahweh. Yahweh. Isn't that amazing? 1800 years before the Messiah came, we find evidence from these tablets in the British Museum, according to Haley's handbook, confirming that the pronunciation is Yahweh. Yahweh. Now, I want to look at one more reference here. This doesn't have the full name, but it's really interesting. This is a manuscript from the Dead Sea Scroll collection. It's actually a Septuagint fragment going back to the first century. And you can actually see. Now, remember, prior to the 9th century, there are no vowel points. So the Hebrew documents prior to this, Dead Sea Scrolls, there's no vowel points. I know some of these people are saying, well, look, you can find Jehovah in Dead Sea Scrolls. That's nonsense. That's nonsensical, as Professor Fassberg would say. There's no evidence in the Dead Sea Scrolls for Jehovah. There's no vowel points. There's nothing to validate such a conclusion. But here, these are Greek. And guess what Greek does? Greek maintains and preserves the vowels. So we know. So here we have an iota, alpha, and omega that pronounces Yah, or Yahu maybe. Yah. First century. So we see here evidence when? We see evidence from the second century, from both Christian sources and also Gnostic sources. And let me say this real quickly about these two references. Some people say, oh, you could never use Gnostic references. Gnostics were heretics. They actually believed Yahweh was this cruel and mean mighty one. They reject him as evil. So these guys, they had nothing in common. But you know, the fact that they disagree, the fact that the Christian fathers opposed the Gnostics, and yet they both agree on this one point, tells me that this was widely known. Because listen, the Gnostics would never support church fathers, and church fathers would never support Gnostics unless the information was so well understood that neither one could deny it. It's like saying that truck is blue. Or I don't care who you are. If you look at a blue truck, it's a blue truck. It's the same thing here. They were no friends. And yet, they both recognized, based on Greek inscriptions, by the way, which preserved the vowel points, that the name was Yahweh. 1800 years ago. We also see here tablets from the time of Hammurabi, 1800 years before the Common Era. Yahweh, or Yahweh, confirming this name. We also see evidence, again, from the Dead Sea Scroll collection. The Septuagint, first century documents in the Greek, confirming Yah. How could it be Jehovah if we have evidence in Greek from the Dead Sea Scrolls that the first syllable is Yah? Let's not even, you know, and we also have the, again, Irenaeus and Clement and Theodoret and others that supposedly heard these things, this name from the Jews and the Samaritans. You know, here recently we compiled a list of scholarly references confirming the name Yahweh. I'm not going to read these, by the way. I promise. But I did want to go through the list real quickly. Just the titles. You can look this up. Go to YRM.org and search for literary support for Yahweh's name. Literary support for Yahweh's name. And you can find the quotes. Now I'm just going to read the references. And this is to give you an idea of just how many references there are that confirm the name Yahweh. So Insight on the Scriptures. By the way, Insight on the Scriptures. This is a Jehovah's Witness reference. And they say within that reference that while English is preferred, Hebrew scholars prefer Yahweh. Jehovah's Witness. A book about the Bible, Wycliffe Bible Dictionary, the Oxford Companion of the Bible, Erdman's Bible Dictionary, The Journey from Text to Translation, Understanding the Old Testament, the New English Bible. Again, they all support the name Yahweh. Revised Standard Version Preface, the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia of the Lutheran Church, 20th Century Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, the Emphasized Bible, and the Word English Bible. And all these references, by the way, state that the name is either or likely or is pronounced as Yahweh. Does not say YHWH. This is Yahweh. We purposely sought references that stated and confirmed that the name was Yahweh. So again, you can see the URL, yrm.org/literary-support-yahwehs-name, if you want to look at that reference. Now, keep in mind that there's many, many other scholars confirming this. I mean, I could, again, go on all day long showing evidence for Yahweh's name from scholarship. Now, the same cannot be said, though, about Jehovah. You know, I've challenged some of these folks who believe in Jehovah. I said, show me one scholarly reference, PhD paper, research paper, encyclopedia, dictionary. I have yet to receive any other reference besides to this one Karaite Jew who they refer to for all evidence. Not a single other, or I shouldn't say other, because I don't consider this person as, not other scholar. I cannot find one scholar to look at the evidence, these Hebrew manuscripts, these codices, with these vowel points, and come to the same conclusion as they're coming up with. Why? Because scholarship disagrees. Scholarship doesn't agree with this. Scholarship shows across the board that Jehovah, came about through the vowel points of Adonai. And as we've already seen, you know, I believe that this is a third or a violation of the third commandment. Yahweh says, don't take my name in vain, which can also mean to bring it to nothing, to bring it to ruin, to bring it to destruction. We're not to bring Yahweh's name to destruction. And when we replace Yahweh's name with a known hybrid, with an erroneous hybrid, we are bringing that name to destruction. So is this worth the debate? Yes, it is. This is absolutely worth the debate. This is worth defending. Yahweh's name, again, there are two important truths that I see. One is Yahweh's name, and one is a Sabbath, and they're both worth defending, especially against a counterfeit, a hybrid, that you can prove through scholarship existed for the sole purpose to hide and to conceal the name of our Creator. So I will not apologize for that. You know, I pray that this message, you know, has been a blessing for you, and I really hope more than anything that has helped you understand Jehovah, that you understand how this developed. And if someone comes to you and says, or where's your evidence? Or what about these vowel points? Or what about these 500 manuscripts where we see the name Jehovah, that you can explain this? And if not, I would encourage you to go back and listen to this message, because it's all there. It's there. You know, Yahweh's name, again, you know, we see in Scripture, he says to honor his name, to praise his name, to sing to his name, to exalt his name. His name is critically important. And I, for one, will not stand back and allow a known counterfeit, to disguise the most important name in this universe. May Yahweh bless you.